Passage this evening comes from Psalm 123. Before we go there, let us turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning in verse 8. Congregation of the Lord Jesus, this is God's holy, infallible, and abiding word given for His glory and for your good. So give your full attention to it. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length. But he answered him nothing, and the chief priests and the scribes were standing there, accusing him vehemently. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Let's turn now to Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until He is gracious to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Let's pray together. Our God, our Lord, we ask now that you would open your word to us, that we may understand and that we may be moved by it in order to be changed more and more into the image of Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I'd do another psalm since I enjoyed preaching Psalm 134 last time. And I figured it'd be a good break for me from Colossians. But I promise I'm going to get through Colossians, hopefully. Our psalm this evening is another one of those song of ascents. Remember, it's Israel on their journey, their pilgrim journey to Jerusalem. They're coming up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals. They, at this time, would have been dispersed among the nations. And so, being dispersed among the nations meant that Israel suffered through many adversity. They would have suffered from being strangers in a foreign land. And so, they would have been treated with contempt in this very journey that they were in. Why? Why would they have been treated with contempt? Well, because they were different. They were a different people. Because their God was different. Yahweh, their God, is different than the other gods. You know, people don't like those who are different from them. It goes on everywhere you look. People are often disregarded when other people are different from them. Now, if you're a Christian this evening, this journey of being different as Israel was should sound very familiar to you, because it's your journey. The King James Version calls us a peculiar people. A peculiar people. And you know, Christians can be weird. You know, we're peculiar in that way. But we're treated differently, not because we do strange things. Some of us are strange. That's one of them is me. I do strange things sometimes. But we can be considered weird because our God is different. We are God's chosen possession, and the nations around us do not understand that we're different. And so they treat us differently. And so if you're a Christian this evening, you might have, you might feel very despised among the nations. So to be a follower of Jesus means facing this contempt from others because you are different. Our psalm this evening is all about the Lord giving grace when we are in those situations, when we are despised. And I want to look at two things, how we look for grace and when we look for grace. The psalmist begins with looking for grace. He doesn't even state out his problem yet. He begins by looking to God. He begins by looking to the Lord. That's his priority, is to look for grace. And so, how do we look for grace? We look for grace with expectancy. And that's what that picture of eyes lifted up to heaven symbolizes. It's an image of expectancy. And really, it accords with the Song of Ascents. It's looking upward. It's looking to God for help. And so it's a posture of expectancy that God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's what it means to look up, to lift our eyes up to God. And notice, too, that the psalmist doesn't look to God by himself. Yeah, he says, I lift up my eyes in the beginning, but then look at all the plural pronouns that follow. You know, our eyes look to the Lord. Our soul, be gracious to us. You see, he's not alone in this. The psalmist is not alone in this. He represents the people and their anguish. He's acting in solidarity with them. You see, his personal confession is setting the tone for those who are in a journey to Jerusalem, and for us who are on a journey to the heavenly city. And it's a call to follow him. It's a call to follow him in this search for grace. And so looking for grace is a communal act. Now I want to ask you this evening, do you do that? Do you look for grace in community? Or do you look for grace all by yourself? Do you pray with others, seeking the Lord's face with others? Or do you just do it by yourself? It's good to do it by yourself, but it's even better when we look together, when we look for grace together. And so that's the first thing of how we look for grace, is we look with expectancy. And the second thing is we look with absolute dependence for grace. The picture of servants and masters, maidservant and her mistress, those are all pictures of this dependence that we must have before the Lord. This should also remind us of our covenantal relationship with the Lord. Remember when the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt? He calls them his servants. His servants are to look to him for all things. And so, being in a covenantal relationship with the Lord means we're in a position of servanthood, of looking up for our sustenance from Him. This means we're utterly reliant upon the Lord. Now, the picture here is really of a servant waiting for food from his master, from his Lord. It's receiving what he needs from his master. You see that total dependence that the psalmist is calling us to? We're servants, and the Lord is our master. We're to look with dependence upon Him. Why? Why should we do that? Well, because He's matchless. He's matchless in comparison to anybody else. He is, after all, the one enthroned in the heavens. Nobody else is enthroned in the heavens. You know that? Nobody else but the Lord is enthroned in the heavens. That is why we should look to Him in dependence, in complete, utter dependence, reliance upon Him. No man sits on this throne. It is the Lord. Isaiah tells us that earth's inhabitants are but grasshoppers to the Lord, the one who's seated at the throne of heaven. Man is like grasshoppers to Him. Beloved, there's no other help that we need than that one who is seated on the throne. What else do we need? How else do we look for grace? Well, we have to look relentlessly for grace. If you know this, that God is sovereign, that He's enthroned in the heavens, you should be looking relentlessly to Him. And you know because you know something fundamental about Him, about who God is, about what Yahweh is like. The Lord is a gracious Lord. That is why we must look relentlessly to Him. He's gracious. He's not like the masters who are stingy to give good things to their servants. He longs to give good things to us. And so we look relentlessly. There are plenty of pictures in the scriptures about this relentless pursuit for grace. I think of Jacob. You remember the time when he wrestled with God? What happened? Did he get subdued and said, "I give up"? No, what did he say? He said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." Do you see that? That relentless pursuit for grace. I will wrestle with you all night if I have to receive this grace. I wonder if that's our attitude this evening. Are we content or are we relentless for grace? I think sometimes we give up too easily. But if we know that God longs to give us grace, we should be relentless in that pursuit. What else do we need? How else do we look for grace? Well, we look patiently for grace. Looking for grace requires waiting. It requires waiting until He is gracious to us, the psalmist tells us. Our eyes look to Him until He's gracious to us. You see, it requires that we wait and be patient while we are in that suspense. Looking up Having our eyes lifted up often means our eyes will be filled with tears while waiting. Waiting is a very difficult thing. I think many of us can attest to that waiting. We are very, very impatient generation, at least my generation is very impatient. We want to know everything now. We want everything now. You know, we're always trying to get to Google and get the quick information. But God's grace requires patience. It requires waiting. So how do we look for grace? We look with expectancy, with dependence, with relentlessness, with patience. You know, to sum it all up, how do we look for grace? Well, when we're looking for grace and we're looking correctly with our eyes lifted up, we are seeing who God is and what He is like. He's the God who is enthroned in the heavens, who has everything in His hands, and He rules perfectly. But yet He's also the God who is gracious to us. That's how we look for grace. But now, when do we look for grace? We know how to look for grace now, but when do we look for grace? Well, you know there are many reasons to look for grace. We are sinners, after all. We live in the midst of sinners. And so that means we're bound to hurt and be hurt. And so, when do we look for grace? The psalmist tells us one instance when we look for grace. We look to grace when we are despised, when others treat us with contempt. And so Psalm 123 really is a welcomed guidance for the despised. It guides us when we feel worthless, when our souls are filled with contempt. Do you feel that? Do you feel that from the psalm? Anguish, that urgency, that plea. Be gracious to us. Be gracious to us. God, intervene for us. Intervene for us. It's like that SOS signal, you know. It's being sent off by a desperate people. We're that desperate people. We need when we are despised. And so what does it look like when we're despised, when we're treated with contempt? It means when we're looked down upon. When the people around us don't understand us and regard us as worthless, what are they saying? You have no value. You're not created in the image of God. I wonder how many of us have gone through this, even just this week, who have felt worthless. You know, our dignity is stripped from us when we are despised from others. And it is a painful experience. That is why the psalmist is crying out in anguish for the Lord to be gracious. So we look to God when we are despised. this painful experience, we look to God. But it's not only when we are despised. I think we look to God when we are the despisers as well. We can be on the other side of the equation. What are these despisers look like? They are those who are at ease. Nothing troubles them. They are free from worries. They have no problems. I looked it up in the dictionary and it said they are not awkward. You know, we talk about a peculiar people. And if you're peculiar, oftentimes you're awkward. But if you are at ease, you lack awkwardness. And so you feel very comfortable and you feel very confident in yourself. But it's not so with those who are despised. Those who are at ease, they're not awkward, are they? But those who are despised are awkward. The ones who are at ease, they scoffed because they are at ease. Nothing can get to them. They scoffed at those who aren't doing well, who look different from them, who are having trouble. What else do they look like? They are the proud. That's what they look like. They are prideful. They have a high opinion of themselves. And their heads get big, and they tend to take out their arrogance on people who are lowly, people who are different. And so this is ironic, isn't it? That we are simultaneously the despised and the despisers. We are not just victims, we are also perpetrators. After all, we're pretty good at making people feel worthless at times. When we're full of ourselves, we can be very good at doing that. But we can also feel we can also be on the other side, feel worthless from people who are arrogant, people who are at ease. What do we need to do? We need to look for grace. We need to look for grace in those situations. And we need to look to the Lord for grace. Jesus is the Lord we look to for grace. Jesus is the one enthroned in the heavens. All the graces that we seek in the moments of being treated with contempt are found in Him. But sometimes we tend to go somewhere else, don't we, for relief when we are despised. We are man pleasers. We rather go to somebody else for comfort rather than the Lord. It is good to go to people and talk and be comforted. But the Lord is the first person you need to go to. He is the one who will ultimately give you the grace to bring you out of your state of contempt. Because He's the Lord. He's the Lord who looked to the despised, the ones who were treated with contempt. Think about the Gospels. How many times the Lord Jesus came to the outsiders, came to the poor, the handicapped, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, the sinners. That's the Lord who looked to the despised. The one who's seated at the throne looks down at the despised. And he has mercy, he has grace, pity upon them. And Jesus was the servant treated with contempt. He was the servant who was despised. Listen to Isaiah 53. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Isaiah 53. Beloved, that is good news. That is the gospel. That the one who was despised died for sinners, died for despisers like us. The ones who would not look upon him, he took on upon himself the despised, the contempt that we deserved. Think about how powerful that is. Because we have despised the Lord, he became a man of sorrows. That speaks volume to us. It should to us when we are being despised. Because the one who is worthy, the one who has infinite value, was despised. So that despisers like us can have grace. How should we conduct ourselves when we are despised? We look to him. We look to him who is seated in the heavens. This evening, there's a table before us. This table tells us that Jesus cares about those who are despised. If you're feeling worthless, valueless this evening, you need to see this table. This table should remind us that Jesus was despised for us, despisers like us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father,